kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And I have a title for our teaching today, and we're calling our teaching Sacrificial Service for Christ. Sacrificial Service for Christ. Now, this epistle, I just want to speak briefly a bit about this epistle because it'll give us a bit of an understanding with regard to what we're going to preach here. But this epistle is a prison epistle. He was in prison in Rome, his first imprisonment, and he's writing this epistle, also an epistle to the Ephesians, so we know that the two are written pretty well close together. And he had someone who was to take these epistles to the churches, and his name is Tychicus, and he took the epistle to the Colossians, and also the one to Ephesus. And these epistles were written round about 64 AD. And as I said earlier, this was Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. And we need a little to understand the conditions in which he's writing these epistles and what actually he's going through. And I want to take this up from verses 19 through to 23, because this is going to help us to understand verse 24. So verse 19 onwards says this: "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to you, every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." And then he goes on that he became a minister and a steward over the word, over the body of Christ, and so on. So we're calling our teaching today Sacrificial Service for Christ. It's interesting that we start to actually get an idea from the trials that the apostle was actually going through. I've already said that this was written when he was first imprisoned in Rome. We have to remember what this man went through. Very few ever go through what he did, with those beatings and stoning and imprisonments, shipwrecks. And he went all of this, through all of this, and he was coming to the place where he was actually taking this for Jesus Christ, who is head over his body. He was starting, in other words, to get a deeper revelation and understanding of his many trials that he was going through. Now, of course, we remember when he was saved, he was told quite clearly that he would go through much sufferings for Christ. So he was already told this before his ministry took off. But all of which he's going through, and as I said, he's now writing this in prison, and he's beginning to realize the body of Christ, what the body of Christ is, what fellowship is, and what it entails, and who it entails, because it's all about Jesus Christ. And so he begins to understand that the reproach was really directed at Christ, Christ in him, Christ who is head of his body. He no longer was wrapped up in himself, rejection, feeling self-pity, or trying to defend himself, or all these things that we still at times try to do. He was getting such a bigger understanding and revelation of the body of Christ and who it is about. And it is about Jesus Christ. It's his body. He's head of this. He has been baptized by the Spirit into the body to function. And there are sufferings that we take for Jesus only. And he's beginning to learn this, that these trials he's going through is just for him. Paul recognized and that he saw that he was taking the sufferings of Jesus himself as a present. This was the amazing thing that was happening about all of this. It's as though he was taking it. As though it was Jesus himself who was present, who was living. And of course, this is where we get the idea of where the Lord says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. So the Lord is present. He is there. And we take that by faith. And so he was getting this deeper understanding of what these trials and sufferings are about. And that's why we can begin to understand what it says when he says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. So he's using his physical, his body, his flesh, which of course is where the attacks were with regard to stoning and beatings and shipwreck and so on. That is his body, his flesh, taking a pounding. And he sees these afflictions and he begins to see them in a different light, because he sees it as for the sake of his body, Jesus Christ, which is the church. Of course, we know such scriptures about our trials and tribulations that we go through. Just bring some of these up again in passing. For example, in James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. In many ways, we could say that the Apostle Paul is getting wisdom, is getting understanding of these trials, the reproach, the sufferings. The same as we ask God, we talk to God about it, what we're going through. And he says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, of course, faith is very much connected there with the trials and tribulations, because that's where we're really tempted. And that's where we're tempted to doubt. And sometimes our doubting is it worth it going through all of this? I don't have to go through all of this. Is there not an easier way? And this is, of course, where we call on God for wisdom, for help, for his mercy, his grace, and so on. Because very often it's in those trials where we're tempted to go back. But God wants us to have a deeper understanding and revelation of what we go through. And we are told in Acts that we go through much trial and tribulation in which to make it in to the kingdom of heaven. So we need that deeper insight. We need to know really what this is about. Who is this really affecting? What does it affect? And it comes right down to Christ. It comes down to his body, the church, whom he's head over, where I am fit into his body to function, to minister, to be taught, to be encouraged, and so on. So we then start to get a deeper insight of these trials, just like the apostle was learning what he was going through. What are we told in 1 Peter chapter 4? 1 Peter chapter 4, you know these very well. And verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So these trials are to try us, to test us. Exactly the same what the Apostle Paul, his trials, what he went through, and I've already said he went through much, they were to try him and test him so that he could come to that place where he has that understanding and revelation of his trials in his flesh, where we get in verse 24 that he says, my sufferings for you fill up my flesh, what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. He too is learning through the trials what he's going through, that's trying him, testing him, giving him a greater understanding and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm calling this teaching tonight, Sacrificial Service for Christ. This is our sacrificial service. We don't have to go through this. We can all walk away, but we choose not to, because it is Christ. He is the one that we serve. And there are times that our life and walk and commitment requires a sacrifice. Trials in many ways require a sacrifice. It's sacrificial in nature, because we can go and walk away. We can find a different alternative. We can find an easier route. But we choose to go in the narrow way, not the broad way. And of course, the narrow way is the way of trial and tribulation. That narrow way is not always an easy path, as Jesus said. So he says here, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. And that, of course, is what the enemy likes to do. He likes to get you to think that the trial you're going through is strange. It shouldn't be. After all, you are a Christian. You're born again. God loves you. You shouldn't be going through this, or you must have committed some devilish sin, or so on. He gets very vocal because he doesn't want you to understand that you go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the kingdom of heaven. These very trials that we go through, which are tailor-made for us, are for the reason for us to mature and grow in the faith and to have a stronger faith, which we have when we come out of these trials. And it goes on in verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So some of these trials and sufferings are making us desperate for heaven, for the glory of God. We're desperate for his appearing. This is why often we say, come, Lord Jesus, come soon. Because the trials are getting us ready for him. We will appreciate him. There will come a day and an hour and a moment when this will all stop. And we will see that it was worth it. With what he comes, bringing his rewards and blessings. Because faithfulness is what God looks for in the body of Christ in this last day. And there is only a remnant that is faithful to the Lord. So many have got wrong ideas of commitment. They're committed to their church, or they're committed to their eldership, or they're committed to their denomination, or whatever it is. No, we're not. We're committed to Christ and him alone. If it's not that, then it will be idolatry. And none of us want that. We don't want to be deceived by that. What does Matthew have to say where Jesus taught the Beatitudes? He had something to say with regard to trial and testing in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. 10 to 12 of Matthew 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So we find also in the Beatitudes, Jesus has said exactly here that we go through persecution, and our persecution has to be for righteousness' sake. It means that you have been made right, pardoned. You are a new creation in Christ. His righteousness is imputed to you and me, and that will bring persecution. Because that righteous state that you now have with God exposes the powers of darkness, or it should. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. And they're going to lie and to scheme. He says, rejoice, be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. There you are. God is going to reward this. He's going to reward this sacrificial service for Christ. That is his heart and his nature. In many ways, brothers and sisters, we are Christ's representatives on earth. And we take what the unregenerate throws at us, because they are haters of God. They hate God in the flesh. Many like the idea of God. Many like to think they are Christian because they go to church. But when the truth is presented, when the sword of the Spirit is presented, you will see their true nature manifest, that they're haters of God in the flesh. And they will revile against you. And that is why he calls us to be representatives on earth to this unregenerate world. You are a representative to the body of Christ. You are a representative to Christ, to his head over his body, who loves his body. You are a representative of the trials and tribulations that you go through because you represent it, or should do. And that's why we're not to take it personally. And some walk away who are offended because they take it personally. And why do they take it personally? Because they've not let the self-life be dealt with by the cross that they too are to take up daily and to follow. The cross deals with anything you try to make personal, because your vision should be far greater and bigger, because it's about Christ, it's about his body. What I'm going through, or what they've said about me, or the trials, or whatever it would be. They are attacking Christ. They're attacking Christ in me. They're attacking the body that I represent. When you begin to understand this and get a deeper revelation of this, then you begin to understand what the body of Christ is about, and that you represent his body. And when they revile you, and they come against you, and they persecute you, and say all manner of things against you, you don't take it personally, because it's Christ they're coming against. And I represent him. I'm a part of him. I'm a part of his body. I'm his head over me. That is whom they are attacking. Jesus Christ. And the apostle was seeing this back in 24, verse 24 of Colossians 1. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. I've already opened up the trials he was going through. This very epistle he's writing, he's in prison in Rome. He knows what it is to be shipwrecked, to be beaten, to be stoned, to be rejected, to be lied, criticized, told to leave, and so on. And he's coming to a place in these trials and these tests where he sees the sacrificial service for Christ. He sacrifices for him because he's head over the church. It's about his body, and he's willing even to use his own body to fill up what is lacking in the body of Christ. He had come to such a revelation and understanding that even his body, it doesn't matter. Let them do what they want to do. If it means I'm stoned, or if it means I'm beaten, if it fills up what is lacking in the body of Christ, so be it. Praise God. Count it all joy. That is why we're not to take our trials personally. And this is where the cross comes in. The very cross that we take up daily deals with that selfish self-life, where we will always take it personally otherwise. That is what it's to do if we let him do that. And so we see these profound words in verse 24. This is not easy to preach when you get stuff like this. This is deep. This is heavy. This is maturity. Babes can't understand this, but you aren't babes anymore. Or at least you shouldn't be. You're maturing and growing in the faith. This is about our identification to the body of Christ. If we love Christ, we love his body. And I'm willing to be used in whatever way to fill up what is lacking in the body that I represent. How many of us have an understanding of this in FGA? No, it's left to the pastor. He's the faithful one. He's the one that keeps going and ministers every week. It's more than that. My very prayers affect this body. My very giving affects this body. My very attendance affects this body. My very attitude towards this body affects it. We don't go away from this assembly criticizing it, cutting it to pieces with our tongue. And it's such a bad witness when we do this to others or family or whatever it would be. We have to be so on our guard. Yes, there may be things at times go wrong. There may be things that God is exposing in the body that affects us all. But it's to do with the body. It's to do with us. Christ to his head. It's not to do with anybody else outside. And those who criticize this body, they're no longer with us anymore. And we leave them to God's mercy. No, I'm here to be used. I'm here to serve. I'm here to minister. I'm here to fill up what is lacking. And if I love this body and I love Christ and I say I love him, then you cannot separate any of it. And you love all those whom God has baptized into this. That is the point. And when you start to experience this and when you start to really face this full on, you'll begin to start to just to have an inkling of this verse in verse 24 and what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Well, it's interesting looking at this, taking this a step further. We're calling this teaching today sacrificial service for Christ. It's interesting that the word he uses here in verse 24, rejoice in my sufferings. This word in the Greek for sufferings here, which is parthamia, this means it's the sufferings of Christ's afflictions. That's actually what it means. It's not just about suffering. This is sufferings of Christ, Christ's afflictions. That which one suffers. He is suffering, I am suffering. I am suffering, he is suffering. It is a suffering for righteousness' sake. I read that back to you in Matthew 5 of the Beatitudes. It means that I've been made right. My life is right with Christ. He's imparted his righteousness to me. And because I'm now right, born again, not of the flesh, but of the spirit, it means then that I'm made right in him. That's what it means. And so the powers of darkness, they afflict, they come against that which is in us because we're now right with God. And Satan hates that. And so we are the prime target. He will attack in any way our righteous acts, our righteous deeds, because we do them with the right heart and motive in faith for Christ and for him and him alone. It's not about me or what I can get out of it and so on. We talked about that earlier. And so this is what the apostle's using here. with regard to this. And of course, we get an understanding of this word with some scriptures, for example, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It speaks, in other words, of these sufferings that we experience for Christ. It's Christ's afflictions. In other words, he still continues to suffer. He doesn't have to. He could just sit at the right hand of the Father and just be that high priest interceding, which of course he is. But one thing he did, and thank God for it, he said, I will come back to you. I will send my Spirit. And in order for him, as he's come back, now by the Spirit, it means he's come back to continue to work in and through us until the body of Christ comes into its full maturity. And part of that work involves trials, tribulations, persecutions, sufferings. So he's still willing to suffer and to go through it with us. What a great God we serve. His love knows no end. That is why he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In whatever we go through or whatever trial. What does it say also in Philippians? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. So the apostle again not only wanted to know the power of God, and he saw where the power of God lied, and that was in the cross, the resurrection, but he saw it also in fellowship of his sufferings. He actually was in fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. And we know what fellowship means. It's that Greek word koinonia. Unity, oneness, love. He was sharing Christ's sufferings. He had bonded in this with the risen Lord. They were in fellowship together in this. This is profound, brothers and sisters. And when we start to begin to see this in this light, then we start to see our trials and tribulations so, so differently. And that is why it always has to take the cross. Well, he goes on, if we look back in Philippians chapter 4, we've looked at this word sufferings, and he goes on, for you and to fill up in my flesh. To fill up in my flesh. In other words, it's a word that's used supplement or to complete. He's aware in his trials and tribulations, this fellowship of sufferings, that it's bringing him to completion. And there we get that idea, completion, perfection. Perfection means we come to a completion. We come to a standard. God sees it as complete in his sight. And he's seeing that in his trials, in his flesh. He's filling up in his flesh. The afflictions in Christ will be borne by me, in other words. That's what it means. It means these afflictions are going to be birthed. They're going to be born in and through me. You will see it. And of course, the early church did see it. They saw what this man went through. And in time, they were seeing more than just the Apostle Paul. They were raising questions. How can this man survive? How can this man survive being stoned? How did he come out of a shipwreck? How did he come out of prison or whatever it is? They are seeing a greater power preserving, keeping him, which is to fill up, to encourage the saints to carry on in faith. And that is what you are. That is what God has called and baptized and placed you into the body in order for whatever God wants to do through you and me to fill up in those areas, to help encourage one another. You see, it's being committed to his body that Christ can fill up in and through us, which is lacking. And that's how he does it. We keep coming, we keep together, we go through thick and thin, whatever trial, whatever storm, whatever it will be. And here we are, we're still keeping together online. This corona plague hasn't stopped this assembly, hasn't stopped us hearing the word or getting together. Yes, God can even use technology. This should encourage us and help us, particularly in these times. You see, if we love Christ, we love his body, as if he is walking and talking with me. And with me, that's what the body is about. It's as though he's here. I'm with him, talking with him, listening to him, enjoying him as well as him enjoying me. That is what the body is about. When I see the body, when I see fellowship, I am seeing Jesus. Because he said, where two or three gather together, there am I in the midst. This is why I've said in my ministry for so many years, and I know Brother Freeman said the same. He said, the understanding of the body of Christ is one of the worst things that lack today in contemporary Christianity. And we are still learning it. And yet, the former reign, the early church, Pentecost, for the first 200 years or so, they were beginning to experience what I'm talking about tonight. This probably wouldn't be revelation to them. They'd be saying, amen, brother, we know exactly what you're talking about. That is it. And yet it's all so new to us. Why? Because God is still delivering us from ourselves, our selfishness. It's still about me. And that has to change, brothers and sisters, if we're to finish this final lap that we're in this race. Because it's the body Christ is coming to rapture. Not just individuals. It's individuals who are part of his body. The bride that's making herself ready. And so, my life then, as we're looking at this, is in many ways a sacrifice to the body of Christ. I choose to sacrifice in whatever way or whatever's required or demanded from me. I mean, in many ways, it's a sacrifice to keep attending. For some, it's very difficult. It seems impossible. My sacrifice is participation. I choose to participate in this body. That means to be active, to be used in whatever way God wants me to be used. I sacrifice my prayers, intercessions, in other words, my time. I give my time for prayer or fasting if need be, for the body. For its maturity is perfection. Praying one for another. Praying one that our faith doesn't fail. Or those that are going through trial and tribulation or whatever it will be. Then there is our ministry of giving to this body. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, when God has got hold of our purse strings, he's got hold of our all. We're still mean at times in giving to this church. And the things that God has shown us in which to give and support, we're still too interested in buying what we want and our creature comforts. We're not willing to sacrifice. Because I'll say it again, you can never outgive God. But there are practical things. There is ministry that we support. There are needs. We may not be starving in this church, but we know our brothers and sisters who are. Then there's our ministry. Do I choose to minister? Do I want to be active? Do I want to give to the body? Oh, this may be some sacrificing going on here or whatever. Well, that's what it's about. And then the needs. Are we sensitive to the needs in this body? Are we sensitive to one another? Or do we provoke one another? Or do we gossip or have critical thoughts or attitudes to one another? We can hinder in our fellowship if we have this. These are all things that we have to be on our guard to, because the enemy attacks in any way he can to try and divide the body. And when the body is divided, its power goes. Its witness goes. And the light starts to dim. Or are we here to encourage, to exhort, in whatever capacity or way God can work in and through me? Or is it always left just to one person? We have to wake up to this, FGA. It's sacrificial service for Christ. The Apostle Paul has already shown it. He revealed, he lived it. And whatever is lacking in this body, here am I, Lord. Use me to the full capacity. And if it's sacrificial or whatever it is, so be it. It doesn't matter, because it matters. All that matters is about Jesus Christ. It's representing you. This is your body. If you're suffering, I'm suffering. If you're going through trial, I'm going through trial. That's how one we should be with him and each other. That's what this is about, brothers and sisters. And my life is a sacrifice to it, in whatever way and capacity God can work through me. You see, if fellowship and Christ's body is not costing you at times, something is wrong. If our fellowship, our coming together, our staying with this, if it's not costing you at times, then something is very wrong with your Christian life. Because if we love Jesus Christ, we love his body. And you can't separate the body of Christ to Christ, because he's head of it. And therefore, being a part of it is going to cost me. It costs me to go that extra mile many times. And you know whether you're going through that or not. You know whether that affects you like that or not. And if it isn't, then you have to inquire of the Lord. And I know our ministries are all different and so forth, but the point is, it's being used by God, by the Holy Spirit. It's being willing to be used, to be available. And of course, we get this inside. I know I repeat it repeat this many, many times, this scripture, but in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, which says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is exactly what we were talking about back in Colossians 1, 24. What the apostle was saying there, that I use my body, my flesh, to fill up that which is lacking in the body. Here we are. We present our bodies a living sacrifice, because you can't do any more than present yourself, put yourself, your whole being on that altar. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, it's something you consider you're to do. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there we are. If we put ourselves on that altar, and the fire of God has come down and consumed that sacrifice and burnt all the dross out of you, which he does, then he says, you won't be conformed to this world. In other words, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. That changing, that's where our minds are transformed and changed. We don't think or act like the world anymore. And our minds are renewed by the Spirit, by the Word of God, and so on. For the purpose that we can prove the will of God. We can prove what is acceptable, the perfect will of God. Did you know there's a perfect will of God? Too often we make do with the permissive will of God. But he says it's a perfect will. I believe what we're talking about tonight, sacrificial service for Christ, is God's perfect will for us. And the only way we know the perfect will of God is when we are taught by the anointing, by the Spirit. And he says, it's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, he accepts it. Is God accepting you as that living sacrifice? We're not just talking about being saved by the skin of your teeth. We're talking about you triumphantly entering in to heaven with those rewards that he says he has for us when he comes. That's what we're talking about here. In other words, God can use me. I'm of use. In whatever way I can fill up that which is lacking, I'm not going to look to anybody else. Here am I, use me. You see, too often we look to somebody else. Oh, I know that she can do that job, or he can do that job. I'll leave it to them. No, 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 no. You don't get off that lightly. That isn't a sacrifice. Here am I, use me. And that's what makes a great minister, a great person of God. You don't have to be a preacher or teacher like me. You're far more important. Your ministries are much more important than my ministry. You're way in front of me. I just simply deliver what God wants to be taught. But you have the capacity, the wherewithal to fill up that which is lacking in the body of Christ. And that is the point. And then we will start to see the body functioning as it should with its gifts and ministry. Because we're not doing it unto a man. We do it unto Christ, to his head of his body. And that's why, as I close, he chooses still to be afflicted. He chooses still to be rejected. He chooses still to be put in prison, or martyred, or tortured for the faith. And that goes on. He could have left us and just sat at the right hand of the Father interceding, but he didn't. He said, I will come back to you. I will send my Spirit. He still identifies with us. And whatever we go through, he goes through. And whatever he goes through, we go through. And when we start to experience this and see this, we will not then take our trials personally and get offended and upset. We see, in other words, the bigger picture. And in time, you will begin to see my life is a sacrifice. I placed my being on that altar. He's accepted it. Because you can't do any more than that. Brothers and sisters, this isn't milk for babes. This is the meat of the word. This is what causes us to grow up, to become sons of God. There are too many who are immature in the body of Christ. They refuse to grow up. But God meets them where they are in his mercy and grace. But there are those, a remnant, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And God said, you will be filled. And filled with what? Not yourself, not a head full of knowledge and theology. Filled with Christ and him alone. Sacrificial service for Christ. That's what we've been talking about today in Colossians 1, 24.
Let him in constancy follow the master.